This is the Reds Hot Stove League.
The Reds are on the radio.
Reds Hot Stove League is brought to you by Holy Grail Banks, proud sponsors of the Reds Hot Stove League, Beacon Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, JTM, let's create great dishes together, MSA Architects, and by Document Destruction, the official document shredding vendor of the Reds. The Reds Hot Stove League is also brought to you by CBTS, a Cincinnati Bell company, technology solutions for business, your tri-state Chevy dealers. Check out Chevy's award-winning lineup, only at your tri-state Chevy dealer. The Healthcare Management Group, Greater Care for Greater Cincinnati. Woody Sander Ford, I-75 at Mitchell Avenue, right in the middle of everywhere. Now, the Reds Hot Stove League on News Radio 700 WLW, the home of the Reds.
Again, everybody, we are back at Goodyear Ballpark, the stadium all but empty after almost 2,800 people turned out today under beautiful weather conditions to watch the Reds run their winning streak to 5 in a row. They knock off the Kansas City Royals 7-3. Jim Kelch is here with me for the next hour, and we invite your calls, 749-7000, 1-800-the-big-one, 823-2441 or something like that, 843-2441, 749-7000, 1-800-the-big-one. You got something on your mind about the Reds and anything of that ilk for as their spring training work and what they've done so far, give us a call over the next hour or so, and we'll talk about it. Sal Romano, pretty good today, huh?
Sal Romano, I thought, was really good, despite the fact he gave up the home run to the second batter of the game, Mike Moustakas. You noted early that he fell behind both Mondesi and Moustakas, 3 balls on each of them. After the first inning, though, he really settled down, retired the last 7 he faced. I thought he came out that thing looking very, very good, very confident, and probably can't wait to make his next spring start.
Not a very good outing for Michael Lorenzen. His command was left a whole lot to be desired today, pitching behind the count, and really was all over the place with his pitches, gave up a couple of runs and 3 hits in an inning and 2/3, but 2 guys that figure to be with the ball club when the season gets underway, working out of the bullpen, both Blake Wood and Tony Cingrani, acquitted themselves well.
Wood had a 1-2-3 inning, and interesting, Cingrani retired the first 2, then gave up an infield single, but promptly picked off the runner at first. One of his best moves is to pick off maybe one of the best in all of Major League Baseball, and he didn't have to throw another pitch. He picked the runner off first base. That was Bubba Starling, and so he had a 3-batter inning. He was pretty impressive.
Yeah, and the Reds had a couple of home runs today, the second of the spring for both. Ryan Rayburn, he homered in the 4th inning, and then a 2-run home run that sent the Reds out in front to stay came in the 5th off the bat of A. Eugenio Suarez. The Reds, all told, had a dozen hits in the game, with the youngster Alejandro Chacin winning the game and veteran Michael Young taking the loss. Offense continues to be good. The defense, with the exception of the drop foul ball by Zach Cozart, the defense has really been good of late also.
Yeah, I think so. The Reds pounded out 12 hits today, entered the game with a team batting average of .292. That certainly did not go down today. The defense, as you said, has been pretty good. And you mentioned the home run by Rayburn. It's his second of the spring. He had one to right center. He had this one to left center field. Certainly doesn't hurt his chances to make this club if he can hit the ball out of the ballpark. He's not a home run guy really in his career, but if you're going to have a guy on the bench that's going to come into the game in the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning, you'd like to think that this person may have some pop. And as I said, he has hit 2, and that could be also the reason that they went out, Marty, and claimed Christian Walker from Atlanta, because this guy has a history in the minor leagues of hitting a lot of home runs.
Well, let's face it, a little power is light years ahead of what the Reds had off the bench last year, because they had none. And to have a guy like Rayburn who could come off the bench and maybe break open a close game with a pinch hit home run or just a long ball is something the Reds were woefully inept at last year. And that's the reason why a good bench is very, very important to a team. And give high marks to Dick Williams and his people for trying to do something about it, in bringing people in like Rayburn and Desmond Jennings, who really has not shown up very well so far this spring. And now we'll find out what Christian Walker's made of, beginning possibly tomorrow, but certainly no later than I would imagine on Thursday.
Yeah, he'll be here, I guess, tomorrow, try to get acclimated, and Brian, I'm sure, would like to get him into a game as soon as he can. And you're talking about the competition for those bench jobs, and Brian was talking about that this morning, that he has really been thrilled with the competition for those jobs, for the catching position, for the relief work, for the starters. He thinks that a lot of guys have done a lot of good things, and they're all going to battle. And he said when all those guys are doing that well, it makes for good competition, and hopefully they'll come out with someone who is equal to the task.
Well, you know what? At the end of the day, however, that aspect of this thing is nothing but a crapshoot, because we talked about it, not on the air, but amongst ourselves the last couple of days. When people like Tony Renda, maybe not so much Tony Renda, but guys like Kiblahan and some of the other guys, Iribarren, people like that, and Renda to a large extent, and other guys who may be having good first 2 weeks of the spring come into a game, more often than not, they are hitting off of double-A or triple-A pitching. So, but you got to go on something in terms of picking out guys that are going to stick on the 25-man roster, especially when you're a club like the Reds are that are in a rebuilding mode. You're looking for help in every area that you possibly feel like you need it in. And you may have a guy that bats 450 for the spring and hits three or four home runs, and now the bell rings, and all of a sudden he's seeing frontline big league pitching, and they're throwing curveballs and cutters and changeups and things that they don't normally see coming up out of the minor leagues in certain count situations, and all of a sudden they can't do during the regular year what they did in spring training. So what you do is, if you're a fan, you take what you hear or you take what you see with a grain of salt. And you congratulate the guys that make the club that were in a battle for certain positions. But then when that bell rings on that first Monday in April, they better prove that they can do during the regular year what they did in spring training. Otherwise, there will be more changes coming.
Now, I don't think there's any question about that. And you get excited about it, but the situation is certainly different. It's a whole different animal batting in the bottom of the eighth or bottom of the ninth inning at home with 35,000 people screaming and the game on the line, than it is when you're here in the bottom of the eighth inning. It's a spring training game, and there's 1,500 people here. A lot of difference there.
Yeah, I was talking with Kansas City's Hall of Fame announcer, Denny Matthews, before the game, and he very aptly puts it. He said, in the early weeks of the spring, maybe the first couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks, you have two games every day. You've got the everyday players that are playing the first 4 or 5 innings against frontline pitching. And then after that, you've got the guys who are trying to win a spot on the ball club. Either they were brought in as non-roster players or they were young players coming up through your system. They go into the lineup for the second half of the game. And that's the way it is. As a rule, for the first 2 or 2.5 weeks of the spring, when you start to draw closer to the opening pitch of the regular season, now you have the starters going 6 innings, 5, 6, in some cases 7 innings, starting to get the necessary at-bats that they need to get ready for the regular year.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, if you want to get involved, our numbers again, 513-749-7000, 513-749-7000, or 1-800-843-2441. I know after this first break, Marty, we'll have a chance to talk about this more extensively, and that is the game that went on in the complex today at 10 a.m. this morning, featuring Bronson Arroyo and Devin Mesoraco as the starting battery as guys are trying to get work over there.
Yeah, but not only that, but we saw Nick Senzel bat, the young man who was drafted number one by the Reds out of the University of Tennessee, considered by most people as the best pure hitter in last year's draft. Had a meteoric start to his professional career, beginning in Billings, ending up in Dayton, and never missed a beat. And we saw him bat in the first inning of that game against Bronson Arroyo and had about a three-quarter swing in which he bounced the ball high off the plate and was thrown out by the third baseman. But this is a young man who we expect to see in the big leagues in the not-too-distant future, and a young man, all things being equal, who's going to be a star in this game. So there were other things going on. T.J. Friedl, the young man who led the game off against Bronson Arroyo and hit an absolute seed to left field for a base hit on the first pitch. He was a young man who the Reds picked out from between the cracks when nobody was aware that he was available to be drafted out of the University of Nevada?
Reno.
Reno.
Yeah.
The other clubs, nobody thought that he was available to be drafted, which in fact he was, and now the draft ends and the Reds sign him.
So they had him, and then Shed Long came up there,
right,
and hit a ball very hard. And there's a lot of people in the minor leagues of the Reds, the minor league system, that think Shed Long is a pure hitter, and he's going to hit no matter where he is.
Yeah, so there were other things that we watched down on the complex today besides Bronson Arroyo and Devin Mesoraco. But let's face it, these are the two guys that we're most interested in right now as far as the immediacy of this Reds situation is concerned. And when we come back, we'll be playing a brief cut from Bronson Arroyo on his comments based on the one inning in which he pitched against the hitters down on the complex around 10 o'clock Arizona time this morning. Right now, we're going to take a break. You're listening to the Reds Hot Stove League. We are broadcasting live from Goodyear Ballpark. We'll be back in just a moment.
Reds Hot Stove League continues here at Goodyear Ballpark in Goodyear, Arizona on this Tuesday night. The Reds a winner today, 7-3 over the Kansas City Royals. They've now won five in a row this spring and will go for the 500 mark tomorrow. They are 5-6 going into that game. Reminder, the Reds Hall of Fame and Museum's Pete Rose Hit Collection fundraising campaign features 4,256 baseballs, each signed by Pete and stamped with the official Pete Rose Hit Collection logo and baseball's unique hit number. Purchase a Hit Collection baseball and become the owner of that hit and help support the Pete Rose Sculpture Project. Purchase today by going to redsmuseum.org. We have calls. Let's go to the phones and hear what's on your mind. Let's start with Greg in Englewood. You're up first. Hi, Greg.
Good afternoon, sir. It's a pleasure to talk to you. Say, that was a fun game to listen to today. I was wondering if I could take a little detour. We respect your opinion. When friends of mine and myself were all in our 60s, early 70s, our bucket list is to finally get to Wrigley Field.
All right.
May I ask you if there are two or three things that if we're in Chicago, what do we got to see and what do we got to do, and maybe a follow-up to that with your favorite restaurant?
Well, boy, I don't know about restaurant. I got a lot of favorite restaurants, probably none of which that you would like, but I don't know. Maybe you would. I would say if you're going to come to Wrigley Field for the first time, certainly you've got to either come early or stay late and hang around Wrigleyville and experience what is unlike, I think, anywhere else in all of Major League Baseball and maybe all of professional sports. The amount of bars and restaurants and places that you can hang out right around Wrigley Field is incredible. So you'd certainly want to do that. And we have the good fortune of staying right downtown on Michigan Avenue, and there are just so many restaurants to eat at. But I think probably one of the favorite places that I like to go is the Chicago-style pizza, and Lou Malnati's pizza is one of my favorites. I heard the other day that there's a Malnati's out here in the Phoenix area. And
how are you spelling that last name, sir?
Malnati's is M-A-L-N-A-D-O, I think. Malnati, or M-A-D-I.
D-I? Okay.
M-A-L-N-A-T-I, Malnati's.
All right, thank you. And also, one last thing, if there's something totally non-related to baseball that we want to blow off, say, 2 to 4 hours and go see, is there something around the Chicago area you would highly recommend?
Well, nothing that I would recommend. I don't know, Marty, you might have some things. You've done some things there, like didn't you take a tour one time,
No, I know it's the architectural tour.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you'd have to go through the hotel or someone to go online to read about. You go out on a tourist boat and you go to different areas that you can see from Lake Michigan of some of the architectural wonders, not only recent stuff but old stuff around the city of Chicago. I've not done it. I was going to do it. I didn't do it. They say it's a sensational tourist attraction, and that would be something I think you'd probably enjoy very much.
Thanks much, gentlemen. Even though not totally baseball-related, appreciate your opinion, and great call on the game today.
Thank you, Greg. We appreciate your call. Let's go to Dayton. Dick, thanks for waiting. You're on the Hot Stove League.
Hey, Marty. Hey, Jim. How you doing, buddy?
All right, pal. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I say one thing. You know, you were talking, Marty and Jim, about this rebuilding season, but boy, this exhibition, they're just rocking, you know. And I think, like I said before, if the defense and the offense can prove, I think I'd see a lot of improvement in this club this year, guys.
Well, we certainly hope you're right, Dick. It makes our job easier to talk about a winning baseball team. But I think you can't lose sight of the fact now that, you know, this club is still in a rebuilding mode. I don't really think it can challenge the better teams in the division for a title. But at the same time, I think we can all expect to see some improvement in this club. And who knows, it may be greater improvement than any of us would anticipate when the season gets underway.
Yeah. Hey, April 14th, I just wanted to tell you, I think I told you before, but I got a birthday the same. He was my idol for years. I got a birthday on the same day as Peter Edward Rose, April 14th.
How about 14th. That? That's big,
How about
isn't
that?
It? That's really big, Dick.
Yeah, it is. But I enjoy you guys. You know, you guys are number one on that radio. I'd love to listen, and hopefully I'll get down there and meet you guys, you know?
Well, we'd look forward to it, Dick. Thanks very much for your call.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, pal. Bye-bye.
Those numbers again, 513-749-7000 or 1-800-843-2441. Let's go to Kim in Eastgate. You're up next. Hi, Kim.
Hi there.
What's on your mind tonight, Kim?
Actually, I was going to ask about what you thought about Bronson Arroyo and Devin Mesoraco in the game this morning. Then I heard you talking about it briefly just before the break. But who else is a big surprise? Has been the biggest surprise to you so far this spring? And who should we watch?
Well, that's a good question. Stay tuned after the bottom of the hour break, and we'll play some sound from Bronson Arroyo and Devin Mesoraco, their thoughts on how they did today and where they may be going in the not-too-distant future. So, make sure you stay with us for that. You know, I think from a pitching standpoint, a lot of the guys have done a really good job. Sal Romano, who pitched today, did a nice job. We've seen Brandon Finnegan, even though his last time out wasn't overly good, his first time out was pretty well. Luis Castillo had a good outing his first time out. Tony Cingrani today put a third consecutive outing together. Rookie Davis has looked good. So there's any number of pitchers that have done well from a starting standpoint and from a relieving standpoint. I think they're pretty impressed with what they've seen from Scott Feldman so far. And Raisel Iglesias has been very good in his two appearances. So there's a lot of good performances that we've seen from a pitching standpoint. And of course, I mentioned the hitting came into this game today at 292 as a team. They pounded out 12 hits, so a lot of guys have done a pretty good job, and there's a lot of battles going on to see who's going to make this ball club.
Yeah, I'm glad to see them start winning.
We all are happy to see that.
It was pretty discouraging to see them go 0-6 at the beginning.
That's for certain. It's much, much better to see them win than to see them suffer through the losses. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
All right.
So thanks for what you guys do. I love listening to you.
Thank you, Kim, for your call. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Again, the numbers, if you have something on your mind, you'd like to give us a call, 513-749-7000 or 1-800-843-2441. Reds won today 7-3. We'll take a break. When we come back, more of your calls on the Reds Hot Stove League from Goodyear, Arizona, back after the bottom of the hour break.
And we're back at Goodyear Ballpark, where we are continually being immersed in the Reds Hot Stove League following a Reds 7-3 win over the Kansas City Royals for their fifth win of the spring after losing the first six. And we talked, and we're going to let you hear the man himself, about Bronson Arroyo pitching in the B game down on the Reds minor league complex earlier today. It was at 10 a.m. Arizona time. He has had a setback because he had a case of the flu, and it really knocked him for a loop. He lost a number of pounds. He's able to bring that back. He's 100% healthy now. But today was a big outing for him. He had to get on the mound and face live hitting. If things went well, then they could look down the road maybe 3 or 4 or 5 days and pick a time when he will be making his first official appearance of the spring. And in the one inning in which he worked today, he gave up a run on a hit He threw a wild pitch. He also ended the inning with a strikeout. And afterward, he talked to the news folks about the outing, and here's what Bronson had to say.
How did it feel, your overall impressions?
Yeah, it was nice. You know, it did feel a little strange out there, as we always do early in camp. But, you know, my arm's not hurting, so I'll take that and threw enough strikes. So,
was there anything out there that's encouraging for the next time you go out there?
Just the fact that I know my arm could have withstood another inning, which, you know, last spring, by the time I got up to two innings, I was in some severe pain. So just knowing that my body is feeling good enough to really throw the ball all out and not it's not breaking down on me is a good thing. And, you know, just getting the ball over the plate. I mean, that's the hardest thing is get it over the plate and can your arm survive. So we'll see what happens in the next few games, and hopefully we can get a little bit stronger, feel a little bit better out there, get a little bit more crisp, and start feeling a bit more normal out on the mound.
I know you said the hitters will tell you whether you got the stuff or not. I know these are minor league hitters, but what did they tell you after, you know, just from what you saw of yourself?
Well, you know, I mean, my stuff is you know, my game is such a game of strategy and stuff that it takes kind of a longer sample size to really know how your stuff plays out, you know. And spring training is tough too because there's so many young guys who don't know you or you don't know them, and sometimes they beat you up a little bit and sometimes you make them look silly, and it's not indicative of a regular season day in and day out going out there every fifth day and competing against a big league ball club. So, you know, results may vary here, and it isn't that important, but I think what is to be able to kind of set some guys up to be able to, you know, just do a little bit of everything out there. Be able to get a couple of strikeouts on two strikes, freezing a guy, make some chase some of your stuff, put the ball on the ground. Just get kind of a natural flow of things and see if what you're throwing up there is at least that they're having to respect it enough to have some good at-bats.
Is the next step real game?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure I'll be in a real game next time out for a couple of innings. And hopefully, you know, it was nice to get out there today because actually throwing against your own hitters is probably a half step up. You know, you go from throwing in these live BPs to a real game, it's kind of a full step, but to have to take a half step against our own hitters, knowing you only have one inning, gives me an opportunity to feel a little bit more comfortable out there next time, and hopefully, you know, you can get out of there with two innings and less than 30 pitches and see how you feel.
How many pitches did you throw?
I don't have any idea. Probably not a ton, just because it was two of them were first pitch, but I went deep in the count a couple times, so I'm assuming something around 15.
There you have the comments of Bronson Arroyo talking about the one inning in which he pitched today in a big game down on the complex. And, the guy's been around the block, and never will there be a question that will handcuff him. He can handle everything with great aplomb. And then he talked about facing hitters whom they've never seen him. He's never seen them. You only can glean so much from that. But then the fact that he figures, Jim, the next time go out there and pitch two innings in a real game.
Yeah, that was one of the two things that I really thought was interesting in his comments. The first being he felt healthy. He felt no pain. He could have gone back out there, he said, and thrown another inning, but he understood why he did not. Last year he said he'd have been in severe pain at this point in time, so that's good to hear. And the other one, as you said, is the fact that he thinks he'll be out there in a real game next time and throwing a couple of innings, not just one inning, but a couple of innings. So that's really good to hear.
Yeah, I don't know that anybody, I know we didn't, have a chance to visit with Brian Price or Mac Jenkins, his pitching coach, about their take on what they saw from Bronson. The one thing he did, for the most part, a wild pitch he threw, which is uncharacteristic of him. And secondly, he mentioned the fact he got behind the count and a couple of hitters. That normally does not happen. His control is normally pristine. But then as the inning wore on, his control got better. He got a strikeout to end the inning. And we don't really know what kind of velocity he had. I don't know whether they had a radar gun out there or not. But if they did, they weren't talking about it. And velocity certainly will have something to do. They'd love to see him get up to 85, maybe 86 miles an hour. And with the other stuff that he has and the different arm slots that he throws from and the abundance or an array of breaking balls that he throws, if he can get up to the mid-80s or a tick above 85, he could help this ball club.
Yeah, and you mentioned the arm angles. I think when he's feeling really confident, you'll see a bunch of arm angles from him, and we did see that today in his one inning worth of work. He started the first batter, T.J. Friedl, off with a fastball right over the heart of the plate, and T.J. jumped all over it. But then he was able to make a couple of the other hitters look bad on some breaking balls down and away that they chased, they couldn't get. So even though it was one inning and I think what we'd read, 15 pitches, it still was a pretty good outing by Bronson.
We've got Brian, Jason, and Jim standing by to make comments about whatever might be on their mind. You just heard the comments of Bronson Arroyo, and we'll get back to the telephones when the Hot Stove League program continues for this Tuesday night from Goodyear, Arizona, in just a moment.
Hey, check out the new theme ticket packages the Reds are offering this season, featuring an exclusive promotional item, including a Star Wars Stormtrooper, Charlie Brown, Elvis, and much more. Guarantee these limited edition collectibles by purchasing the theme ticket package. Visit Reds.com/themes for more information. This is the Reds Hot Stove League on this Tuesday night, March the 7th. Reds won today 7-3 over Kansas City. We have callers on the line, so let's get to them. Let's go to Milford and Brian. You're up next. Hi, Brian.
Guys, how you doing?
Well, thank you.
I was just calling to talk about the overall fan experience that the Reds continue to put out there for us, and the new concert series that they're going to be doing this summer. Real excited about it, and just want to get your guys' take on it.
Well, I know that they are having three of them, I believe, because I saw the note come down the other day that the start times are going 30 minutes earlier from 7:10 to 6:40 to accommodate the show. And I know they have a great package with some different types of music. I can't off the top of my head tell you the name of the group, sorry to say. But I know that they try diligently year in, year out to make it an entertainment experience, not just a baseball game when you come down to Great American Ballpark.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can't beat buying a ticket, getting a concert. And I believe they're on Friday, so you get the fireworks as well.
How about that?
Yeah, you can't beat that.
It's a triple header right there.
Absolutely. It gives you a reason to come out to the ballpark, and hopefully we got a winning team this year.
All right, Brian. Thank you so much for your call. All right. We appreciate it. Let's go to Jason in Cincinnati. Hi, Jason.
Hello. Hey, guys. I just had wanted to get your take on this. A buddy of mine and I have a friendly wager. He believes that by the end of April, Jesse Winker will have taken over the starting duties over in right field. And I no knock on Jesse Winker at all, but I have this feeling that we might not even see him in September. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about that.
Well, before we got into that, Jason, I wonder, why do you think we'll see him at least in September?
Well, I mean, again, no knock on him. Just a vibe I have is that I think the team is kind of set with seeing what Scott Schebler can give us over a full season. And I think with Winker, especially with his injuries over the couple past years or whatever, maybe another full season to kind of give him some help. I do see him as, you know, a big part of the future, but just maybe not this year.
All right. Fair enough. I think that I would agree with you that Scott Schebler is the incumbent out in right field. What he did in the second half of the season, particularly when he came back in August, warrants him the opportunity to go out there and keep his job in right field. He hasn't put up great numbers so far this spring, but we've talked so many times about that is not as important as if they are hitting the ball well and they feel good at the plate as opposed to the numbers they put up. I do know that Jesse Winker is raring to go this year. I've talked to him any number of times. He feels like if he can stay healthy, he can put up very good numbers at AAA. And I will say that if Duvall and or Schebler, if something were to happen health-wise or for one reason or another they didn't perform and Winker's doing a good job at AAA, Jesse Winker will have the opportunity to come up and make this ball club and see what he can do at the big league level. And certainly I believe he'll be here no later than September. I'm a big Jesse Winker fan, and I think he's going to come up and do a good job.
Absolutely.
Jason, we appreciate it.
Appreciate your call. We got to hurry on now. Thank you very much, Jesse. Jason, let's go to Jim in Centerville. Jim, what's on your mind?
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. It's a pleasure to be on the phone with one of my all-time favorites, Marty Brenneman. Just quickly, first of all, when do World Series tickets go on sale? Because clearly, you know, we're on our way there.
What year are
That's
you talking
a very
about?
Very good point.
Sorry,
you know,
yeah.
Brian Price has thrust himself back into the consideration for Cactus League Manager of the Year in the wake of this five-game winning streak.
Well, that and 25 cents will get you a bag of peanuts. But the serious question, though, if the season started right now, which it obviously doesn't, who is our starting five rotation?
Wow. Well, you know, I think DeSclafani will be in the rotation. He may not pitch opening day, but he certainly will be there. Brandon Finnegan will be there. Scott Feldman will be there. And I have no idea who's going to be there after that. That's a good question.
Nobody's made more than two starts, and some have gone well, some have not gone overly well. But I think it's just way too early to say this guy is head and shoulders above everyone else and he's going to be there, or this guy has done a terrible job, he is no longer in consideration. It's just too early to tell. Maybe 2 weeks from now we'll have a little bit more clearer picture of what's going on. But as of right now, it's just too early, other than those three that Marty mentioned, to safely say who may be there.
Yeah, you asked that question on the 20th or the 21st of March. We may have a better idea by then. We may not, but we may have a better idea then than we do right now.
Jim, thank you for your call. We appreciate it. Again, our numbers, 513-749-7000 or 1-800-843-2441. You have a call, you have a question, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. We'll take our break here and have one final segment from Goodyear Ballpark on this Tuesday night in the Reds Hot Stove League. We'll do that right after this. Don't forget, your Toyota dealers are giving away a Tundra double cab at Reds opening day. You can register for your chance to win two tickets to the game with a chance to win the built-in-the-USA Tundra now through March the 24th, only at your six Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky Toyota dealers. Final segment of the Reds Hot Stove League on this Tuesday night. Let's go right back to the phones. Mac, you're up. Hi, Mac.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing today?
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Well, I got an oddball question for you, Marty. I want to compare the Reds fans to other fans, and I'd like to know how you tolerate it. And I'll make my point, then I'll get off the phone and I'll listen on the air to your response. It seems to me, and I used to live in Cincinnati, I'm a big Cincinnati Reds fan, so, but it seems to me that the majority of fans are fair weather fans. And I would like you to explain to me how you tolerate that, and I will put that in comparison with Cubs fans and Yankees fans, which are diehard fans, very rarely say anything bad, winning or losing. And the perfect example is the Cubs and how long they lost. And if you talk to a Cubs fan, they're diehard. Whereas if the Reds lose, they always got something to say. They should have done this. The owner should have done that. They should get rid of this player. How have you tolerated that all these years and kept your composure dealing with it?
Well,
thanks for taking my call.
For one thing, Mac, I want you to back up and take a big, deep breath. You must have a short-term memory problem, because back in the 70s and the 80s and a good part of the 90s, when the Cubs played, you could fire a shotgun through Wrigley Field and not hit anybody because they were so consistently bad year after year after year. And then slowly the process began to change, and the superstation became somewhat dominant around the country when the Cubs were being aired on WGN, and all of a sudden people discovered the Chicago Cubs. I don't think, if you want to call Reds fans front runners, I think in a large way you have to say that we are in a generation of front runners, and it makes no difference whether you're talking about baseball or football or basketball or politics or the business world or whatever the case might be. It's not a matter of being tolerant or figuring out a way of being tolerant. It's a matter of understanding the way the system works. And if you understand that, then, you know, your life becomes much, much easier. I can understand when people are reluctant to go to a ball game. They want to see a team win. And if a team consistently loses, that's not what they want to see. For my money, you talk about the Cubs and the Yankees. If you want to talk about the best fans in baseball, I probably would have to give the nod to the St. Louis Cardinal fans, not the Chicago Cub fans, and certainly not the damn New York Yankee fans. But I just accept what happens with a grain of salt, that in part has helped me get through 43 years in this business, and because I understand the way the game is played. I think I understand human nature and the fact that people want to go see a winning team, and that's the thing that makes it a little bit easier day after day and year after year. I don't compare with the way the Reds fans are with the way the Yankee fans or Cub fans or whoever else there might be, but I understand if a team's losing and a fan doesn't would rather stay home and listen on the radio or watch it on television than go to the ballpark. That's not a hard thing to cope with, and I think I can handle it in that respect.
There you go.
We're out of time, aren't we?
We are out of time.
All right, talk about tomorrow.
Game tomorrow is at 3:05, 2:50 coverage on the Reds Radio Network. It'll be Amir Garrett for the Reds against the Angels' Ricky Nolasco. The Cowboy and I will have the call. We hope you'll tune us in. Meanwhile, tonight, thanks for tuning in to the Reds Hot Stove League, and we'll talk to you again next week with your questions and calls about the Cincinnati Reds.